recordings have started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the CWG call today at October 22nd at 1300 UTC. I'd like to proceed with a roll call. All right, on the line, we have Alan Greenberg, Tara Dawn, Titian, Sean Ojeji, Wanawit Ahuputra, Yasuchi Kitamura, Mark Botterman, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Stefan Johnson, Desiree Milashevic, Eric Iriate, Fouad Bajwa, Elise Lindenberg, Derby Chipanwanze, Brett Gomes, Donna Austin, Graham Bunsen, Stephanie Ducheneau, Liz Furr, James Gannon, Yap Akavus, Mary Uguma, Gloria, Eduardo Diaz, Suzanne Wolf, Tomohiro Fujisaki, Matthew Shears, and for staff we have myself, Grace Abu-Hamid, Marisa Konings, Bart Boswinkel, Bernard Turcotte, and Barry Cobb. If I've missed anyone, please let me know in the chat, and I will also upload the attendance list to the meeting notes, and we can correct things from there. Thank you. Off to you, Liz.
Thank you, Grace. Well, welcome, everyone, to the FERC meeting of the Cross Community Working Group. I'm the new co-chair, together with Jonathan, and I guess you all got his email regarding the situation in the next couple of weeks. Well, I'm elected by the CCTLD community, and I'm the COO of DK Hostmaster. Well, I hope we'll have a good discussion today, and as we have many things to do and many tasks to look at, I think we should get started, and I hope many of you will do some volunteering to a lot of the work we have in front of us. And, well, the first agenda item, or number two, is the note from the last meeting and the review of the action items. And as you have the notes in front of you, but I really like to repeat the agreed principles of the operation. One of them is that we are to rotate the meetings. And another very important one is that no firm decisions are taken during any single meeting without the substance of those decisions having been articulated and open for review, consideration by those that may not have been present during the meeting. And that means that we're going to have, a subject discussed on two meetings. Well, we're also expecting our members to communicate the views to the communities and communicate back from the community to us. And, you're all expected to be familiar with the and consistent with the documents, the current IANA contract, the IANA coordination group request for proposals, and the charter of the CWG. And furthermore, since we have a limited amount of time, I really request that you all keep your comments to the point, and if necessary, speaking time might be limited in order to have as many opinions as possible to any subject that we discuss. I hope you'll be understandable of that. We have some action items that I'd like to review too. And one of them is the revised timeline. And I know Barry has made some slides about the timeline that I like. I don't know, Grace, could you put those up for...
Sure, uploading them now.
Yes. I'll start. I've seen the slides, so I know what's in them. But we have, as all of you know, a very, very tight time schedule. And we have several key milestones that need to be completed. And we have a draft that needs to be out for public comment in early December in order to give a 21-day period for comments to the proposal. And there is also a webinar outreach planned on the 8th of December. And we have to finalize the transition proposal and submit by January 19th before the adoption on the 13th. And we have to send the proposal to ICG on January 31st. So as shown in the drawing, it's really a lot of work. We need to get... We need to get done in a short period, and we have later on the agenda a proposal on how we can try and reach this. But in order to be able to meet these milestones, I think it's very, very important that every member and participant keep their community involved and informed at any developments, anytime within the CWG. So... Then we had review the ICG request for proposal together with volunteering to assist Alan, who offered to do a draft for item 1 and 2 in the request, and that will be dealt with later on the agenda. And we also have CWG members and participants to review the INF function contract, and that will also be dealt with on the agenda. Any questions or remarks to the notes or action items? Don't see any hands for the moment. Okay. So we go on to the proposal on how to structure the work. We have the co-chairs have discussed a framework, and we have delegated to Bernie to make a proposal. And first, I'd like we have a set of principles that we'd like to discuss with you. Grace, can you put that up on the Adobe room?
Yep, it's uploading now.
Yeah.
It's going to take a few minutes. I'm sorry. Here it is.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Oh, that's the slides. I you should have
another one. Okay, yep. Hold on 1 minute.
Well, while we're uploading the principles... here they are. We find it important to have a set of principles that will form the basis for the solution that's going to be presented to the ICG, and therefore those proposed principles are also built on some of the requirements from the NTIA and also from the Net Mondial. And I think we should have a short discussion of them now, and then we'll set them out for comments in the coming week, and we'll discuss them at the next meeting. But the first principle is that we want the solution that's chosen to have stability and security of the internet. All proposals made by us should ensure the continued stability and security of the internet. We want the policy to be based on a bottom-up system, so all proposals must have their core in the bottom-up policy. It needs to have transparency. We should operate in a transparent manner, and there should also be transparency as a part of the recommendations of the CWG. Go a little up the accountability. is that all proposals should include appropriate accountability mechanisms, which include regular, proactive, and independent assessments of the decisions. And this is also to be accountable now and in the future. So it's accountable for the solution with an inbuilt accountability mechanism that can be flexible for future situations. And also there is the evolution, the solution proposed by the CWG should contain clear evolution mechanisms so the solution can evolve. And I think that's very important, taking how fast things go in this world in account. So I see Elise Lindberg is first to...
Hello.
Hello.
It's Elise from the GAC. Just to scroll up, just a minor detail on the first principle. If you scroll up, I don't see... all proposed by the CVG must ensure the continuity, stability, and security. I guess it's just a typing mistake. Or
yeah, it's not or, it's and. Yes.
Just it is going to be high principles, just to get it right. Thank you.
Yes. Note it. Any other comments for this? Yeah.
Amar, hi, thanks. This is Amar. Looking at these principles, I think they're fine principles. But I was hoping when we do discuss principles, and especially principles on which we will base the proposal for the transition, that these principles really delve more into the details and the nitty-gritty of what we want this proposal to actually achieve. And I don't mean in terms of the actual proposal, but I'm thinking about principles like the ones outlined in the Internet Governance Project paper. Some of those principles are pretty good, and I think they would be a decent set of principles to discuss on this group and see how those would fit. And I'm not suggesting we necessarily adopt them, but at least discuss them. And perhaps those will help also guide some of our work. Thanks.
Amar, before you, can I have a quick question? You said the Internet Governance paper. Which one is this?
Yeah, hold on. I'll put the link for that in the AC
in the chat
room.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. Alan Greenberg?
If you like, I could read those out. They're four principles. They're not some... not very long.
No, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Okay, well, the four principles, in short, are: 1, keep the IANA function separate from policy and standards development; 2, don't internationalize political oversight, end it; 3, align incentives to ensure accurate and secure performance of the IANA functions, and I think that's pretty much the same as the first principle you described. And 4, de-link the IANA transition from broader ICANN reforms, but ensure accountability for performance of IANA functions, which is to say just to address the accountability issues that are specific to the IANA function, not the broader accountability issues involved with ICANN. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Alan Greenberg is next.
Thank you. Under accountability, can you or can someone go explain what is meant by regular independent assessment of the conformity of decisions with respect to policies? Does regular mean once every 3 years, or is this in fact an ongoing process of hiring external consultants to review things?
I would like to answer that, because I don't think you want to have it that specific in this one, because it's principles. For me, how often is more a procedural thing you want to put in the actual proposal?
I'm not saying we need the exact frequency. I'm just trying to understand what's being asked for.
Okay. For a personal thing, I would think we should do it like every third year and not like flowing like the HRNT did. But Bernie did that, did this paper, and he might have an idea behind it. So
I would suggest if we're talking about every few years, that it's periodic, not regular.
Okay.
Just to convey the right message.
Cool. Yes. Okay, but Elise next.
Yes, thank you again, Lisa. Elise from the GAC. I think these principles are very high-level principles, so I don't think it's going to cause any large discussion. Just to flag out that we will have to, you know, when we go further down the line with more detail in our proposals, these guidelines are the ones we're going to stand out, you know, we have to measure the details towards these guidelines. So we will have to post it, of course, to get comments on the GAC list. GAC has also worked with some principles around this. So just to flag that, I don't see anything to comment on now, but I will probably come back and ask for something more on the principles. But thank you for now. Okay, thank you.
Fine. Just to make sure, this is only this is the first discussion, and we're going to have a second one, so it's not that these are going to be concluded today. Mark Carvel?
Yes, hello everybody, and thanks very much for introducing this topic of the principles. As I think Elisa just mentioned, the GAC has already started a lot of work on principles to guide the transition, both the modalities of the process and for the guidance of the development of the model. So we started work. I'm the UK rep on the GAC. We started work in Los Angeles. We've got a lot of text already. We've got a leader in the GAC who is pulling all this together. That's Peter Nettlefold, the Australian GAC representative. And we will be finalizing a set of principles pretty quickly to help inform the CWG and its work, and also to convey to all stakeholders interested in and engaged in development of the transition model where the government stand in terms of principles. And so I just wanted to underline that, and you know, the governments are well engaged now on this, and will be working with the CWG accordingly. And it's very interesting, you've got some high principles here, you've got it's a very good start. We have a lot more to add to that. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. Sounds good. I think it's very very good to have as many views on this as possible. Byron is next.
Hi. Thanks, Liz. I just wanted to make two comments. One on the principles, and I guess it's probably already been said, but just to reinforce, these are high-level principles, so I don't think we should be trying to get too granular on them right now. And the other is the comment already made about the Internet projects principles and whether we should include them or not. I think they're certainly interesting principles, but at this point I would say they're already, you know, listening to them, they're already very solution-oriented and or perspective-oriented, and are probably, they're most definitely worth deeper discussion, but I wouldn't consider them appropriate for the high-level principles that guide the discussion, as opposed to our solutions at the end of the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Byron. We have Chuck Gomes.
Thanks. Just a couple comments on principles. First of all, the evolution principle, I'd like to think that that is more than just a review every 2 or 3 years, but rather a principle that our proposed solutions will have some flexibility in them or provisions for revision even sooner than that as needed, because if you wait 2 years or 3 years to review something, things change awfully fast. So I think the evolution principle, we should interpret that to mean more than just a review every few years. Secondly, with regard to the Internet Government Project, Principle 4 on the separation of of IANA accountability and the other. I think that's an issue that will be dealt with by the charter drafting team and ultimately by the accountability cross-community working group with regard to the two tracks. And I think we have to be very careful in that area because an awful lot of comments from various sectors of the community have indicated the interdependency of accountability with general ICANN accountability with the IANA transition. So that principle, I think I agree with Byron in terms of the applicability of those principles for actually the high-level principles we're talking about now. But if we were to consider something like that, we have to be in sync with what the other cross-community working group is doing and make sure it's worded in such a way that it's very clear of the interconnection of the two efforts in terms of accountability and transition. Thanks.
Thank you, Chuck. And we have Stefan Johnson next.
Hello, this is Stefan Johnson. SE. Guess I'm reiterating what has been said before, especially by Byron here, but adding extra principles like the one mentioned today needs an extra round of consideration for sure, because adding principles at this early stage might increase workload in an exponential way almost. So my suggestion is keeping it easy now and adding later on in the process if necessary. So let's not add too much to this.
Thank you, Stefan. Martin Butterman. Martin Butterman, are you there? Okay, we'll go on to Milton.
Hello. Yeah, this is Milton Mueller, Syracuse University. I'm a little bit puzzled as to the nature of the discussion of principles that we're having, particularly since some of the principles, such as stability and security, are already requirements of the NTIA, and I don't understand why we would be wasting time discussing something that's a requirement that's going to be reviewed both by the ICG and by the NTIA. Some of the other principles seem confused to me in the sense that they are principles about how the CWG should operate. And again, that is a requirement of the ICG RFP. So that's already something we have to abide by. And it's also about how the CWG should operate rather than about how we should reform or transition the IANA, which is what I think we should be talking about. Policy-based bottom-up, again, the IANA doesn't do policy, at least some of us believe it shouldn't. And indeed, the whole point of not having the IANA do policy is so that the policy will be located in the bottom-up policymaking process. And so I think I agree with Chuck that some of these issues are actually more appropriate for the accountability group to be discussing. Whether or not the policy process is bottom-up or not is really a topic for the enhanced accountability group. And this group is concerned with filling the vacuum, so to speak, created by the absence of the NTIA.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that a lot of these principles discussions would be a lot more fruitful if we had actually were discussing proposals. For example, you know, if you're making a proposal, you can discuss whether it contributes to or detracts from the stability and security of the IANA operations. But as a general principle, I mean, who's going to disagree with that? Who's going to advocate that we should not have a stable and secure Internet? The proof is in the pudding in what you actually have in front of you. So those would be my comments.
Okay. Thank you, Milton Mueller. Any more remarks regarding this? I see Stefan and Martin still having your hand up, and Sean, you're putting it up again. You want to talk? Yes.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, hello. Yeah, this is... Oh, okay. Mr. Chair, am I on? Should I go ahead?
Yeah, Sean, go ahead. I don't know if Martin is joining now, but let's have Sean and then we take Martin. Yes.
Okay, great. So this is Sean for the transcript record. So just to repeat what I just typed in the chat, that actually I also support what Martin just said. There's no need to send up to set any new principles, actually. All these things are already clarified in the NTI requirements. So if we must write some principles down there, we'll just perhaps just do copy and paste in those in that NTI requirement, and then we'll move on. So unless we want to just clarify some, indicate some working ethics of this group. Otherwise, I think the principle is clear. And there's no need to overstretch that one right now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sean. That's Martin Butterman. But before you start, Martin, I would like to remind you all of stating your name and affiliation before you speak, because it's good for the group to know who you are and where you come from. So please go ahead. And please keep it to a two-minute talk.
Thanks.
Okay.
Martin? The beautiful thing is you already introduced us, so, but I'm Martin. I think this is a very good starting point, and most importantly, one principle is missing that should guide us all, and let's keep this as simple as possible. So let's make sure that the measures we, the proposals we do don't lead to more unnecessary bureaucracy and things like that, or unnecessary complications. So basically a call for keeping always in our mind to keep it as simple as possible.
Okay. Well, I have Martin Boyle next.
Martin Boyle, I'm with Nominet.uk and the CCNSO, and I'm a member of the ICG. I'm sorry, because I've been having very bad connectivity problems, so I might have managed to miss the comment that I'm about to make. But I did hear Milton Miller's intervention, and by and large I agree with him. However, I think one of the points that I would see is that before we start to talk about proposals, I do think we need to get established in our own mind exactly what are the principles or the criteria against which we would judge the proposals as and when they come in. As I read the principles that are on the Adobe Room at the moment, I see these as being essentially the principles by which the CWG is going to work, and you know, as such, I wouldn't disagree with them. However, it does seem to me that that two sets of principles, the way that the CWG work and the way we are going to judge principles, are actually two separate documents, and both need to be addressed. Thanks.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Martin. I have Greg Shatton.
Hi, Greg Shatton from Intellectual Property Constituency Commercial Stakeholder Group and Abelman, Frayne, and Schwab. I guess just looking at the guiding principles, I would say that other than the first bullet under transparency, all of the rest of the bullets and sub-bullets refer to the proposals and recommendations. So I think if we just took that first sub-bullet out of transparency out and perhaps started a second principles for operation of the group, problem of kind of dual duty here for this document would be resolved. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Any more comments through this? Well, Alan Greenberg. Oh, you're not. Okay. Well, I think what we should do is we had this set that we still should send out for comments, and I would really like to have your input in writing, and then we'll present a document next time that will hopefully fit into the comments you've presented. So, and I will look into this together with Bernie, I hope. Are there any who wants to volunteer being on this with me? Okay, but Martin Boyle, was that meant to participate in writing the principles? Or you can...
Yes, it was, Lisa.
Okay, thank you, Martin. Amra, Elsa?
Thanks, Lisa. This is Amra. I'm just clarification on what these principles are for. Are they for the to guide the work of the CWG, or are they principles on which to base the proposal? And I do have a comment on that question, just
okay.
Just to follow up on that, because I feel that I'm just a bit wary about the time we have to develop a first draft of the proposal and submit that for public comment. And I would recommend that we don't waste too much time doing work that is perhaps in some ways repetitive. And I would like to hear thoughts from others on why we actually need to set up a set of principles that will guide the work of the CWG, considering we already have a charter that has been adopted by the different groups represented here. And this charter is quite clear on how we need to do our work, including some of the principles on the screen in front of us right now. So I would favor sort of skipping the principles on which the CWG needs to work and just start working on the proposal directly. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I'll make a quick answer to that. I agree that the principles put forward for you is more about the group's work than the proposal. But as I heard a lot of you, I think there is maybe we could make a set of principles for the actual solution. So we have a set of safeguards that the solution that we end up with is going to comply with these principles. Milton?
Yes, I think...
Please state your name.
I'm sorry. Yeah, this is Milton Mueller again, Syracuse University and Internet Governance Project and ICG. Martin Boyle, I think, was right that we need to have a common sense of what criteria we're going to be using to apply to proposals. But I agree with Amr completely that we really don't have the time to be duplicating work that has already been done in the preparation of the charter, that's already been done by the ICG, and that's already been done by the NTIA. We're simply not doing anything constructive by having a statement that all proposals should ensure the continued stability and security of the Internet. The issue is, you know, what proposals are we talking about, and how would they contribute or not contribute to the stability and security of the Internet? I think we need to attack the problem at a much more specific level at this stage. We need to be talking about organizational structures and get into the problem of responding to the RFP of the ICG.
Well, thank you, Milton. I can see on the chat there's a lot of commenting going on. I'm having a hard time in getting it all. But I'll have Elise and Sean and Chuck, and then I think I'd like us to get on to the other, because What we'd like, this is not going to be a showstopper for anything. This will be in parallel with all the other processes. This is not going to be, we have to agree on this before. So let's try and have this on email, and we'll make an assessment next time on if we should skip it or we reach an agreement. But Elise, go on.
Thank you, Lisa. It's Elise from the GAC again. I just wanted to mostly echo what you said, that the solution we come up with must be tested towards some high-level principles. I think it is important. I think it's the importance of the job or the work we're doing in the CWG. I think the community, at least in the GAC, they will ask if we had some bottom guidelines for what we wanted to achieve and some principles on that. I'm not saying that we have to agree on a very long list or very detailed list, but I think we should have principles on this. So we have to, I think, use some time on this. I don't know if we're going to use it in a separate group or what we're going to do, but we need some guidelines or some principles in the bottom. Thank you.
Yes, we have Sean and Chuck, and I see people asking me to stop the comments, and I've done that after Chuck. So we have two more, and then we end the discussion. Sean?
Yeah, okay. So this is Sean. Hello, Alex. I just want to clarify some things because I'm hearing, principles, proposals, and it seems like the CWG is looking like we're actually going to be receiving several different proposals. We're actually supposed to develop one proposal, which is just the proposal for names. So I think we are not setting the principles for some people. We're actually reviewing the proposal, the single proposal that we are drafting. So I think it's going to be very easy to check that single proposal against the NTIA requirements. That is the end point. The end point is the NTIA requirements, and if it meets that, if that single proposal meets that, I think we'll be done. So there's really no need to keep repeating this, keep getting stuck on this principle aspect, because it's just one proposal.
Okay, Sean, you made your point. Sorry, we have to get going on this, so I'm going to turn over to Chuck. Thank you. Chuck Gomes.
Sorry about that. I was on mute. I want to make a specific suggestion with regard to the principles. First of all, I do agree with those that have said that the principles can be a measure we use to evaluate solutions, so they're important in that regard. But as been pointed out in the chat and in the discussions here, some of the principles are already given to us by NTIA. Some of them are in the charter. And so I suggest we make a list of all the principles from NTIA, from the charter, and then if there's any others that we need to consider, we can talk about those if people think they're essential for measuring our work going forward. But I think seeing all those in one place instead of having the list we have on the screen and then behind that we have NTIA's and we also have the charter, it would be very helpful if they were all in one place and differentiated, and then we can decide whether we need any more.
Good idea. We'll do that and send it out to the group. Thank you. I will end this item now, and then we'll go on to how we think the work should be structured. There's a proposal. I think we need that on the Adobe Room, please, Grace. And then I'll have Bernie do the presentation of the slides.
I'm uploading it now.
Okay, that's fine. And Bernie, are you there for doing the presentation?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can.
Okay. Good day, everyone. Since I don't know exactly what you're doing, I think this will go quite to the heart of several of the discussions we've had on the previous point. It's really about coming up with a structure so that we can separate out the work, get people working on distinct blocks, and try to meet our required deliverables. So just recapping the goal of the CWG, and I'm not going to go through it. Everyone's familiar with a lot of this stuff, but you never know where these presentations will get used, so it's always good to have them. Again, talking about the relationship with the accountability review process. All right. So we've heard a lot of talk about responding to the RFP. The RFP lists the following requirements, and what is being, I think most people should be familiar with that. The proposal is to structure the work so that to break down the required sections of the RFP into reasonable chunks for all the deliverables and establish specific subgroups to undertake these in parallel where possible. And basically, I'll run through this quickly and we'll take questions after. So basically, parallel stuff that can be done is description of the community's use of IANA functions. That's just facts as they are currently. Existing pre-transition arrangements also can be done in parallel with the first part. The third part, really, to do it properly, needs to consider 2B, but then this we should be able to come up with this fairly quickly. Transition implications, the initial version of this work should be combined with 3, because if you're presenting stuff as post-transition oversight and accountability, really you should be thinking about the transition implications. NTA requirements in Section 5 should be a final checklist when other sections are completed. And the community process should be a summary of process tracking throughout our activities, which should be ongoing from this from the beginning of the working group. So basically, in each case, we're talking about having a specific subgroup. And you'll see I've put in some rather aggressive dates here just to get us going, because we really need to do that. A description of the community's use of IANA's function, the first draft should be at the next meeting. Existing pre-transition agreement policy sources, the same thing. Existing pre-transition arrangements, oversight and accountability. Again, we should really need to get at least a first draft out for next week, so people from 3 who are interested in working on 3 can actually get going. The third, which is actually working group RFP 3, are the proposed post-transition oversight and accountability arrangements. Just to be clear, members of this subgroup should be familiar, and I do mean familiar, with the NTIA IANA services contract, IANA's DNS activities, and the procedures of the GNSO or the CCNSO. This subgroup may wish to further split the workload depending on the number of options or scenarios it is to work on. We understand that that's the big chunk. Transition implications, as I said, could be considered as part of 3, or ongoing while 3 is being carried on, but it seems logical to try and match up these things. NTIA requirements, as I said, RFP Group 5, is really if people have done their work within the boundaries that are required, this should be a fairly simple task once we've completed the proposal. And the community process, again, should pretty much be a mechanical thing, which gets produced and validated by the subgroup. From a process point of view, each subgroup should appoint a subgroup chair for purposes of being the person to provide the work output to the CWG. Each subgroup chair should present the status of the subgroup at each meeting if it's active. Subgroups working drafts should reside on a common repository. We've set one up. If that is acceptable to everyone, subgroup chairs will provide the final report of the subgroup to the chairs of the CWG. So, in a nutshell, without taking a lot of time, basically it's about creating subgroups to work on the separate parts of the RFP requirements so we can get to actually deliver the products that we need. And that's the proposal, and I'll turn it back to Lisa for discussion. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Bernie. Any question, comment to this? Yeah, Chuck?
Thanks, Lisa, and thanks, Bernie. This is Chuck Gomes from the Register Stakeholder Group. A question for you, Bernie. Did I see that you suggested a subgroup for RFP item 3? And if so, I can see the value of a subgroup being, you know, managing the writing of that. But to me, that's the bulk of where our work needs to focus with proposals and so forth. And I'm not convinced that a subgroup should be doing that. I think that's a group as a whole in terms of soliciting ideas. Now, if the subgroup is soliciting those ideas, that covers my concern there. My main point is that I think that particular item is so crucial to the whole thing that we need to keep the whole CWG involved in that process in some way. And if the subgroup coordinates that, I'm good with that. Thanks.
Bernie, do you want to answer that straight away?
This is Marika. Bernie just noted that he fell off the call. I don't know if he's already back.
Yeah, I just came back, but I missed the question. Sorry.
The question was if item 3 were going to be done by a subgroup, or because Chuck thinks this is the most important work, so it should be done by the whole group.
Well, I think it should be reviewed by the whole group, and the whole group, I mean, basically, this group can decide to do that. Usually in these things, there are people who want to actually do the work and get it, and getting it reviewed are two different things. So really, the concept here that I'm presenting is getting some work done. It also is to present where we're at, including drafts, at every meeting of the CWG, and we're talking about having a meeting every week. So, I mean, I'm perfectly comfortable if we want to have everyone on that subgroup. I don't think it's a question of the groups being closed. We'll have the various draft documents always available to the CWG community, and if there are teleconferences, anyone can join. But the idea was to have a set number of people who are committed to actually doing the work so we can actually deliver something that can be considered by the whole CWG. It doesn't mean that because this group is doing the work that this is the final result of it. I don't know if that helps.
Lisa, this is Chuck. Could I clarify since...
Yes,
since
yes. If you do it fast, you're welcome. Yeah.
Thanks. Bernie, sorry you missed some of what I said. I don't have any problem with the subgroup having the primary writing responsibility and the coordination role, but I think it's more than just having the rest of the people in the CWG review it. We also want to allow them to provide input into that. So I'm not totally opposed to the concept of a subgroup, but I think it's such an important area that we need to allow input from the whole committee on a regular basis, and you've kind of suggested that. So I don't think we're far apart there, so I'll leave it at that.
Okay. James Gannon.
Madam Chair, if I may just add on to that.
Yeah. Okay.
I just want to point that are we adding layers of process here that are basically, we have a very short timeline to work in here.
talking about subgroups and chairs. We're a relatively small group here. We're under 50 people. Are we adding something here that's not required? Can these functions not be carried out by the group as a whole, as opposed to complicating things unnecessarily?
I'll do a short answer to that, James. It's not in building hierarchies, if that's what you're thinking of. It's more getting jobs done in parallel, so you have specific subjects that everyone can do, and you have a group that's responsible for that and feeding into the process. So, but I don't know if that helps, Sean.
Yeah, yeah. This is Sean, a fellow for the transcript record. So I think I'd like to respond to Barry. I think the idea of having some people draft something and we then all contribute on it or add our input, I think it's fine. It's a good way to start things off, especially now that we have no much time around. So I think it's good to just, perhaps it may not be necessary to formalize it, calling it subgroup or something, just to ask for volunteers, for a few volunteers to start up a draft, and then we could now all, of course, we will all have access to the Google Docs. We'll see it as the draft is coming up. We can add our comments, but there should be some people who will actually update the draft, and so that we all don't be changing things at the same time. But I like to also make comment on the items. I think item 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Already exists in some documents, right? I think, like it's been pointed out, the SAC reports has those things already existing. So maybe we could just share the URLs of those things, and then we don't need to actually create a subgroup for those things. Like it's been said, item 3 is our major area of work, and we should just get to that as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. I'd like to just say that these are asked for in the RFP. I know there's been done a lot of work, and I think we can use that in our proposal or in our feedback to the ICG, but we're asked to do this. Okay, but Amra Elsa.
Oh, thanks, this is Amr. I have a question. I'm sorry if I missed this. Is this subgroup or subgroup 3 specifically? Is there a plan to have other calls during the week specifically for the subgroup, or is it just about collaboration over email? I'm looking at the chat in the AC room, and I see that Marika has suggested that this subgroup, specifically subgroup 3, use the main mailing list, and I'm just wondering if there is no plan to have calls, then what's the point of making a subgroup? Having said that, in principle, I'm not opposed to subgroups at all. I've seen them work well in the past, and having work done on several parallel tracks is a good thing, especially considering the short time frame we have to deliver. Thanks.
Okay. I don't think there was any specific process for the subgroups. They were to decide themselves if they needed to have conference calls or to do it by email. But that was my understanding of it. Bernie, you might have another. Do you want to add in? Bernie?
I'll try not to fall off the call while I'm removing mute this time. No, that's exactly right. I think that the idea of the subgroups is less limiting, as I explained earlier. It's about just finding people who are actually going to commit to doing the work. A lot of people have day jobs, have limited bandwidth available, and so the expectation is not just to put your name on this, and it's not about it will be posted anywhere. It's really about getting the work done, and everyone being able to follow if they're interested. If they're interested on the daily basis, they can follow it. If they're interested just on the calls, there'll be an update and understanding it. But various subgroups may have different requirements for how they need to work. Obviously, we understand that subgroup 3 is going to be the one requiring the bulk of the work and the discussion, and I don't think it's about creating separate mailing lists or anything else or keeping anything confidential. It's about just chunking out the work so we can deliver.
Sean, is that a hand or you forgot to lower? Oh, seems you forgot to lower. Okay. Well, Elise?
Thank you, Elise from the GAC. Again, just a short comment. I don't see anything wrong in having subgroups, as I said, to organize the work and get it done. But as long as we have sufficient time to look into it and to pass it around to the communities and have discussions on it, then we don't all have to be in all of these groups. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any more comments on this one? Eduardo, yes?
Yes, this is Eduardo from ALAC. I think I need something here. I just want clarification. Are we going to have mailing lists for each one of these groups so we can collaborate at that level? Thank you.
No, it was proposed to do it on the normal mailing list for the CWG.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more? Elise, you haven't lowered your hand.
Sorry.
Anyone else? Because I would like to, we have item 1 and 2 that Alan is going to make a short presentation of where the work is regarding that, but I know there's still a need of volunteers for that group. And we have the other groups that even though we'll have those done after next week, I would like you to think about which ones that you would like to volunteer for the next week, and we would need people to be able to start after the next meeting right away in order to get things done. Please think about which groups you would like, subgroups you would like to join. Group 1 and 2 is already going, and we need more people on those. 3, 4, and 5 are going to wait for the others, but need to start soon after. Yes. There is a question if participants are electable to join subgroups on the chat, and for me, yeah, I think everyone is can join the groups. Mark Carvel, please.
Yes, thank you, Mark Carvel, UK Government. Did I understand you correctly, Lisa? When you said 3 would not start now, I think it should start now. I mean, time is precious. But correct me if I misunderstood. Thank you.
Well, actually, you didn't misunderstand, but what we were trying to say is that 3 had a dependency on the work from the 2 first items. And when that was done, we could start this. But I don't know, Barney, have you any additions?
Ma'am, just a note to the group. I think it'll take us a little while to get things, and by a little while, I mean until the next call next week. The notion is to get 1 and 2, at least in draft form, to the group before the next call. So if people are interested in actually contributing to this, reviewing it, making sure it meets a sanity test before the group, we would need to know that now. I think Alan is leading those 2 groups, but we really need to activate. So I think the only thing we're talking about relative to 3 being started is A, identifying the members and getting that settled in. And by that time, I figure we should have the first drafts of 1 and 2, which will allow Group 3 to proceed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We have Greg Shatton.
Hi, Greg Shatton, GNSO, Commercial Stakeholder Group, IPC. I agree with Mark and Carvel and others who've said that I think Group 3 does not need to wait to get started. While clearly in the final report, 1 and 2 are critical table-setting items for the ICG and the larger community and the world to understand how our proposal, you know, came to be and how it differs from the current state of affairs. I think we need to assume for the purposes of this group that we all have a decent working knowledge of 1 and 2. Maybe we couldn't all sit down and write 1 and 2 by ourselves in an empty room. Some of us probably could. But that we need to assume that we don't need to wait to see a written report of how the current work takes place before starting our proposal for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Greg? Chuck Gomes?
Thanks. Chuck Gomes from the Register Stakeholder Group. And I'm one that's working with Alan on 1 and 2. I think you'll find that when 1 and 2 are done, at least the first draft, that it provides very good context and clarity for Item 3. Now, that said, I think that there's no reason why Group 3 couldn't be formed and become functional right away. So I fully support that because that's where a lot of time is going to be needed. Thanks.
Okay. Eduardo Diaz?
Yeah, this is Eduardo Diaz from MALAC. I agree with Greg that, you know, this Group number 3 should start working on it. In fact, I have seen various mails around before we put this group together about different arrangements and different proposals for, you know, this transition. So, you know, I don't see why that group cannot start working with those, and then once Section 2 is done, then they can be refined based on what Chuck Groups is going to put out. And that way we can, you know, we can start the discussion ahead of time. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Well, I don't. If Group 3 wants to get started, I think we should have volunteers and for that group too. But first, I'd like: do we have an agreement on the basic structure of this work? Because it seems like everyone satisfied with how the structure is. It's just the time frame and how we do the structure and how we arrange the groups, if it's going to be first going on or going later. So everyone, I don't see anyone opposed to the structure, right? About having work done in subgroups and doing it according to the RFP. Items. So, and then regarding item 1 and 2, I see a lot saying it's not open and why hasn't it been posted. I think it's because it hasn't been done much work yet and no one really had volunteered for that group yet, except I know Alan and Chuck are looking into it, but I don't think there's a whole lot of work done. So I don't think there's anything to be worried about transparency. I have Eduardo Diaz.
No, I'm sorry, I forgot to lower.
Oh, okay. And then we have Group 3. If we're agreed on the structure, and I hear a lot of people wanted to get started on Group 3. I would like volunteers to come forward, and you can do that by putting it in the chat. I think that's the easiest way to do it. And
Lisa,
yes,
Can I just dive in here? It's Elisa from the GAC again. I just have to say that the connection to the is going back and forth here. I'm getting thrown out of the site and I have to connect again. So I think maybe the chat thing is not where you should post any interest right now. I don't know if any others have that problem.
No, but if you can't reach the chat, well, you can send an email to send an email to Bart.
Yep.
Maybe to Lisa, may I make a procedural proposal that say after this call, we send out the slides to the full working group and that we announce that people can volunteer for the group. So others who are not on the call yet and who are participant and or member can subscribe to each of the groups.
Okay, that's fine. So you want people to subscribe after the meeting and after they...
Yes, that's just as easy. So we can share this, say, the slides again with the full group. So those people, say, there are some members who are not in the Adobe, so they can have a look at it as well, and then say and include in that email say that people can subscribe on the email list, so everybody is aware who has subscribed to which group, and then staff will compile a list based on these emails, and say that we close initial subscriptions to these working group by Friday.
Fine. And I see someone wanted to volunteer for group 1 and 2, but I'm sorry, I wasn't clear on that one, but we were going to make the call for these when Alan is going to have that item on the agenda. But, okay, we have... Eduardo, you're trying to lower your hand or you want to talk?
I wanted to talk. This is
okay, that's good. Feel free.
This is Eduardo Diaz from ALAC. I just want to add to Bart's comment that, it's good that we're going to subscribe to the groups, and also if we can have some kind of wiki page for each one of the groups so we can, do our work somewhere and follow through and see who is in the group. That's just a suggestion. Thank you.
That's a very good idea. What do you think, Bart? Is that possible?
In my view, it is. And going back to Milton's comment, say officially, this is not officially, as we discussed initially, it is open, but at least you want to compile groups so everybody is aware who is doing what to make progress.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
This is Marika. Lisa, if I can get in the queue.
Yes. You can. You're next.
Thanks. So this is Riga. So as you may have seen, I'm trying to keep up with notes as well as action items of this call. So the idea is, as Bart has already noted as well, that we'll send those out after this call. So it's really clear as well for what the action items are and what people are expected to do. So hopefully that will help as well. And getting clarity around this, I have tried keeping track on some of the names that have come forward, but we'll start collecting those names that we get stated on the list following the notes and action items that will come out from this meeting.
That's fine. Thank you. And Bernie, you have your hand up too?
Yes, that's correct. For the workspace, there is a wiki. There has been a mention that some people don't like working on that. Just from a straight repository point of view, at the end of the presentation, there's a Google Docs section that has been set up for each subgroup and where we will keep the membership list and copies of all documents. So that's already in there. Subgroups, working drafts should reside on the common repository. That's the before last slide.
Thank you, Bernie. Any other comments to this before we move on to next? Bernie, you're not lowering your hand, or do you still have something to say? Oh, disappeared. Okay, well, we'll go on to the next item then, and in the end of this meeting, we'll do a short summarize of the action items, and if you feel something is missing there, please just tell us. So the next is status on the work on items 1 and 2 and volunteers, but Alan from CIRA has volunteered last meeting on preparing this, and I don't know, Alan, do you want to present or talk about
it? Sure. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but there's a lot of echo in your call.
Okay, let me, all right, I'll try my headset then. Just give me a second.
Hello?
So, all right, so how is this? Is this better?
So how is this? Is this better? So how is this? Is this better? So how is this?
No.
No.
Alan, you probably need to mute your speakers from your computer. That sounds better.
Okay. All right, there we go. Okay. But it means I can't hear what others say. All right, so let me just talk briefly and then I'll just unmute. So, yes, I put up my hand to volunteer to lead for 1 and 2, and I think as others have said on the call, this is about getting down to the nitty-gritty and getting some of the work actually done. So I'm from the CCNSO community, from .ca, so what, and most of this background has to come from the CCN, from someone from the CC community and someone from the GTLD community. So all that we've really done so far is Chuck Gomes, I think he's mentioned already, from VeriSign, and I had a call yesterday, and the way that we propose to proceed is to develop an outline based on headings, because putting the material into the exact format that the ICG has requested is, you know, it'll take a bit of a narrative to do that. So Chuck sent me a proposal last night, which I have not looked at, but what I propose to do is to take that and to put in some headings that would reflect things from our point of view, because essentially there will be some aspects which are common. For example, the root zone is something, you know, the functionality is the same between the Gs and the Cs, whereas obviously the policy processes would have to be described will have to be described separately. So that's really where we are now, is after I get my headings put in on that, then I will circulate that to the list, and then we can start the job of actually putting a bit of narrative under some of that. All that being said, having talked to Chuck, we don't want this to be a huge long tome, because I think, as some people have said, it can detract from the real work we have to do, but rather it hopefully will be a summary with references to existing documents and footnotes, which will just help to flesh out the whole proposal. Thanks.
Thank you, Alan. Any comments, questions for this? And as said before, we're going to have you volunteering for this on email. So, yes? No one on this issue? Then I think we should move on to the next. That's Alan has also done an example of a triage of the IANA function contract. And Marika, could you please put that on the screen? And Alan, do you want to walk through the triage?
Hello. Yes. So again, I'm flying a bit blind here. I think a couple of people have said on the list that there is going to be a lot of nitty gritty in this at the end of the day. The existing contract, I think, is in effect a checklist of issues that we all have to consider before this deal will get done, as it were. So what I'm proposing that we do, and I'm happy to lead on this, or someone else can volunteer, obviously, is just to go through the 46-page contract with a view to isolating those issues that we're going to have to consider in substance as part of this process. So what you see on the screen is I've just taken three or four examples from the contract, and there's an example of the way I would propose to triage them, and obviously I'm looking for comments on this. So I take the first one is performance standards, which is section C.2.8 in the contract. Obviously, this is something we would want to retain in substance going forward. It's something that we may wish to consider improving, and I just put a little check mark in that it's linked to oversight and accountability, because there is this whole issue of how that links with the other process. So that's an example of the triage. Obviously, I have a column for otoscope, because the contract also includes numbering as well as protocol parameters, which are not within the scope of this group. I think there are a couple of other examples there. In the current contract, there are requirements and conflict of interest. I think that these are a good idea, and we should consider retaining these in substance. But these are not something that I think we as a group need to dwell on in substance, because this is not, if we start debating the specificity of conflict of interest requirements, we're never going to get this deal done. But nevertheless, it's something that I think we should seriously consider retaining. That being said, there are a large number of provisions in the contract work which are specific to the fact that this is a government contract, and I think have no place in an arrangement to which a government or the U.S. government is not party. The example I'm used there is the provision in H.16, which is requirement for certification regarding links to terrorist financing. So overall, as I said, this can be a useful filter of issues. And for example, and this is what I mentioned when we were in Los Angeles, there are provisions in the contract regarding intellectual property and patent rights, and the current contract requires that these belong to the U.S. government. So that's an issue that we're going to have to consider in substance and resolve before we're finished, because obviously we don't want the U.S. government to retain any rights to data as well as intellectual property going forward. So with that, I'll pause. And really, so my questions to the group are twofold. Are you comfortable with the initial categories of triage? And secondly, is anyone prepared to volunteer with me just to go through this process? And at last, I would say this is something we can do in parallel to the other work. It's just at the end, we don't have to get this done right away, but it's something that should be done before the overall process is over.
Okay, I have Milton Mueller in the queue. Yeah. Milton, are you there? Hello? Then I'll go to Elise. I can't hear any Milton. Elise, can you hear me?
Okay, thank you. Elise from the GAC. Thank you for this. This is very, very useful. And I think just to say that this is essential for the work we're doing, to look into what has to be secured and to bulk it like you've done now. I don't have a comment right now. Rather not, I haven't looked enough into the details of how you bulked it, but I still think this is very, very useful for our work. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Elisa. Milton Miller, are you there? You raised your hand. OK, Okay. Still getting on the phone, he says. Anyone else has? Milton, are you there now? Anyone else has any comments or remarks for this? Mark Carvel, please.
Yes, thank you. Mark Carvel, UK Government. Well, I think this is an excellent approach, the A to E category of categories for the terms, I think is very good. I think that's an excellent basis for determining the key essentials for the successor regime. So this looks very good to me. Thanks.
Okay. I don't know. Mila, are you on the phone now? No, doesn't seem like it. Anyone else is on the phone? Or anyone else want to ask questions or comment on this one? Yeah, I have Greg.
Greg Shatton, GNSO, CSGIPC. I guess my one comment here is I'm glad to see in A that the word arrangement is used because I don't think we should presuppose that there will be a contract between IANA and the oversight or stewardship body. And I think that in addition, we also need to think along the same lines as I see the numbers and protocol parameters groups thinking about, which is who are the customers of the NAMES function and whether they should be the same as the accountability mechanism or a subset of that or separate from that. Now, that's, I guess, getting down the road a bit, but I think the point here is to understand what's in the contract and what concepts need to be retained, but not yet to decide what type of document those should be retained in and who should be the parties to that document, if indeed it's a document that has parties. Thank you.
Before I get on to Milton, Alan, do you want to reply to that one? Alan? Doesn't seem okay. Milton,
yes.
You're next.
Yes, yes. Sorry, I was. I tried to use a computer rather than the phone. I was actually going to make a point similar to the point that Greg just made, which is that I really think it's a very productive and helpful for Ellen and others to go through the IANA contract and particularly separate out the names part of it and figure out how it relates to what we're doing. However, when you say retain or do not retain, or it needs improving and so on, you are assuming that there would be a new contracting authority similar to the NTIA. And I think that's an assumption that I actually favor. I think that that is the shape that a proposal wants to take. But it doesn't make – I know that other people maybe don't agree with that, and so – we can't have a very meaningful discussion of these particular elements of the contract unless we have come to a meta-agreement on the fact that there would be a contracting authority and, you know, who would be this, who would the contracting authority be is the probably the first item of discussion. So I think... that is something that goes into what you've been calling group three, is it not? But I think this kind of level of detail really advances our discussion at this stage. I just want to make it clear that we do need to understand whether we're talking about a new contract authority or not.
Thank you, Milton. I don't know if Alan, are you there? Alan from Sierra?
Yes, I am. I think, as someone else pointed out, Milton, I agree with you that there may not be a contract, which is, I tried to use the more neutral term, arrangement. I see the current contract as a form of operational understanding, or I'm saying these are the things we as a community want to ensure continue to happen in the future. So the contract is a good checklist. Yeah, we want conflict of interest requirements. Yes, we want audit requirements. There's a whole long list of things. So I think it's very useful for us. How we actually operationalize these things is something I think that's going to have to be considered in group three. So what I'm suggesting we do is just we go through this as a filter to identify issues that we have to consider. I think someone has mentioned, or if not, I will. There's also the issue of the 500 or 600 page ICANN proposal, which is itself incorporated by reference within the contract, and that will have to be looked at as well. But I think we're going to be looking at in whatever arrangement we end up with, a more general clause that would say, however we give it effect, that ICANN is going to continue to do what they promised to do in that 2011 proposal. And but we will have to go through that as well. But I don't propose doing it to the same level of rigor as here. But I've only glanced at it thus far.
Just before we go to James Gannon, there is a question if this belongs to Group 2. Alan, do you have a comment for that one?
I see. Well, I guess this would be a separate group in the sense that this is, in my mind, parallel work. I think this is something we can finish relatively quickly. I know I'm volunteering for a lot of things, but I think we can get through it quickly. More to say, here are things in categories, dump it out to the list, and then it's done in the sense that it sits there, and then I think, as Milton tried to suggest, once we have a better sense of the structure that, you know, and some of the organizational aspects around this, then we can go back to it and say, okay, can we deal with intellectual property? You know, how do we deal with some of these issues that have popped up? So the answer to that is, I guess it would be a separate group.
Thank you, Alan. James Gannon?
I suppose it's just following on from Milton's comments that I think it is valuable work to do now, because although it is specific to a contract, it can be used in future as a guideline also for whether the proposals will actually meet what was the previous standard. So maybe specific to the contract now, it can be used in the future to guide principles and proposals as well.
Okay, thank you. Milton, your arm is still raised. Is that because you haven't lowered it, or do you want...
Yep. Sorry.
God, that's okay. Anyone else have any remarks or questions for the triage? Seems like Alan is ready to do a lot of work on this group, so I agree that it could be done in a separate group. So if anyone wants to volunteer for that, I think we should also do that on the email. Okay, Sean?
Yeah, this is Sean for the transcript record. I just want to be clear about the GNIs. Is it part of what part of the item 1-6 is this one? So that's my first question. If we are actually volunteering for this, because I think it's been indicated that the volunteering thing is going to be done on the list. So it would be good to have a summary of this thing on the list, and know that we can then determine how, where to volunteer and how to volunteer. But my other comment is in relation to this contract. Yes, it's okay to review the contract. However, I think looking at the contract with the hope of actually seeing how item 2, that is the existing policy, can be improved to integrate some part of some items or major items in the contract to strengthen those policy processes. Existing policy processes should be one of the major goals of having to review the contract in the first place, not with the goal of actually having to put to have another contracting party. So if the volunteer or the team that will be volunteering to review the contract should actually be looking at it with the aim of seeing how it can be integrated or turned into policy improvements in item 2. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. I have Bart raising his arm too. Bart?
Yeah, just again, a procedure. Would it be helpful if we include this, if you would go back to the say the structure of the work, include this as a separate work item, and we create a separate repository, and so people can volunteer for this specific group as well. So we extend, whether it's 2 or 3 or 4 doesn't really matter, but people can work on it rather quickly.
Yes,
but we include it in the slides before we send it out.
Yes, very good idea. Sean, you forgot to lower your hand, or you have an additional remark? Nope. Okay. Well, any more questions, remarks for this item? Doesn't seem like it. Okay. I think we should move on to any other business then. So, anyone has any other business that they'd like?
This is Eduardo Diaz. Yes, I'm trying to up my hand, but I got a background.
That's fine.
I want to add two things. I want to comment on this wiki theme back to the Google Drive, what we're going to do this work. I want to say that Google Drive is great for a document repository, but when people want to put comments on it and collaborate in conjunction, it's not the best tool. So I strongly suggest that we use something as a wiki so we can comment and collaborate there, and then use Google Drive just for the central document repository. That's one comment. And as another business, I would like for you to remind us, I know we received an email, about this face-to-face meeting that now we're going to have in Frankfurt, if you can explain some of what is going to happen there. Thank you.
Eduardo, I need what is going to happen, or regarding the date of the meeting or at the meeting?
I'm sorry, logistics. So logistics to get there.
How to get there?
No. Just to make sure that Frankfurt is the place, and November 10, what have you, is the date.
Yeah, I would like to turn. I see Grace around the call again. So Grace, could you please tell if something has been concluded regarding the place?
This is Marika. I think Marika. Grace is still in Adobe Connect, but she's actually on another call.
Then Marika, please. Okay, thank you.
This is Marika. So we are in the process of finalizing the arrangements with the venue, so we hope to be able to confirm that as soon as possible. As we know, it's of utmost urgence to give you a specific data location. Is indeed Frankfurt, and the dates are confirmed. So we hope, following the meeting, that we'll be able to send you further details shortly, as well as for members of the working group, how to work with our community travel team to get your travel arrangement arranged. And I think Grace also indicated, and I think it's Monday, that we would need an indication from those of you that may be coming at your own expense, participants, so we are sure that we have sufficient place in the venue to accommodate everyone. But we will send out an email after this meeting to reconfirm all that information, so everyone has that, and hopefully we'll get feedback shortly.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm trying to lower my hand. Okay. I don't have any more comments. Thank you. This is Eduardo.
Okay. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. Alan speaking. The concept of alternates has been discussed for the accountability group, but I don't believe we have any provision for them. And given the number of comments about people who might not be able to get to the face-to-face meeting, either due to other competing commitments they already have or visas, it might be very useful if we could quickly decide that alternates are allowed. ICANN has said they will only fund the members, and we may well be rather short of members at this point.
So you mean that alternates is you need to explain a little more about alternates? Everyone can come to the meeting.
Everyone can come to the meeting, but only the 19 members will be funded. But there may well be a significant, or at least some members who cannot come, either because of other commitments, prior commitments, or visa issues. And if the appointing organizations can name an alternate in place of someone who can't come, and ICANN would fund them, that would be very useful.
Okay. Sean, is this on the same issue?
Yes. Yeah. So this is Sean, again, for the transcript record. On this issue of, is it concluded now that it's going to be in Amsterdam or in, because we need to know the venue. Also, I think it's, at least there are a few who have already said that that date is not going to be convenient. And I think it should just be fair to put up a doodle or something to agree on a date and see which one is the best. We can't just pick a date and if there are people, because all the 19 members, all the members are ought to be there. So if all the members are not there, at least if some certain percentage of the members don't make it, it won't, the face-to-face is not necessary then. Perhaps we should just keep on having the remote discussion. So I would suggest that we put up a doodle. For me, for instance, I won't be able to make it at that date. So it should be good if we put up a doodle to sort out the date and finalize on it. If we have all the members here present right now, we could even just give a plus one, plus one, plus one right now and then agree on the date, agree on the venue. There was a suggestion on using a less visa challenging venues. Which will be suggested, perhaps we should also consider that, especially if you want people from developing regions to participate in this process. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. And I do understand your trouble, but I was promised that the ICANN staff would do all what they could in helping you achieve visas and those things. But we are really having a difficulties by getting any other dates, so the doodle is not gonna work for this one. But James Gallen, you're next.
I suppose it follows on from Sean's comments about participation. I don't know if it was just at the face-to-face meeting last week in LA, but there was a request for translation and interpretation of documents. I noticed that Olivier from ALAC officially requested it from ICANN, and I wanted a comment from either ICANN staff or from chairs on what the situation with interpretation on the calls and translation of documents is.
Okay, I see Marika has her hand up. Marika?
Yes, this is Marika. Maybe in relation to several of the comments made, and I think Lisa has already said as well, we are under a lot of time pressure, and as a result have very little flexibility on meeting venues available as well as locations, as we also need, of course, support from our meetings team to arrange the settings, and also looking at, of course, the membership base of the group, which has led us to the dates that are on the table, as well as Frankfurt. We've taken note of the suggestion of alternates, and I think it's definitely something that could be considered if indeed the supporting organizations and advisory committees formally confirm that certain people have been chosen as alternates. I think maybe the next step would be for us to confirm with the members whether they can be present or not. That would give us an indication as well to which groups we would need to reach out to see if there are alternates available to attend. In relation to the request for interpretation and translation, and I believe this was something that was discussed with Jonathan as well as Byron, so I don't know if Byron prefers to comment on this, or maybe I can take a stab of what I think was discussed between staff and the co-chairs of this effort, looking at resources available, time frames we're in. I think the compromise that was made is that documents and transcripts of the meetings will be translated. Unfortunately, we will not be able to provide interpretation during the calls for various reasons, but we hope that at least is a way to accommodate some of the requests, noting that, of course, it doesn't meet the complete request, but we're trying to do our best to get those turned around as soon as possible so people can benefit from that work.
Okay, thank you, Marika. Mark Carville?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to sort of set out my idea for the work planning for the physical meeting, the face-to-face meeting in Frankfurt. I think, as I understand it, this will be the only face-to-face meeting that we will have before finalizing the proposal, if I understand correctly. So it's a critical meeting. I would suggest that between now and the face-to-face meeting, the teleconferences gear up for finalizing contributions to the outcome of the face-to-face meeting, which I would argue should be the principles and the first draft of a proposal. Maybe not fully fleshed out, there may be gaps, but we should, as a group, it should aim to produce a draft that would be a credible, concrete output from the physical meeting. So the subgroups, via the teleconferencing and online working, can now start to finalize their inputs into the meeting in Frankfurt, and teleconferences provide the means for ironing out differences of opinion and so on, so you get some kind of gravitation towards consensus. So I would just underline the importance of a work plan along those lines if the meeting is to succeed, as the only opportunity for all the group to come together and converge on a proposal. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. I'd like to do a short comment on that, because we're planning on the structure slides. It was planned to have some proposals on the 10th of November, and you need to remember that the proposal that's going to be set forward the 1st of December is a proposal for public comment, not a final proposal. So it's going to be some time working with the proposal. So it's not going to be the end or the final one. That's going to be delivered in end of January to the ICG. And I have Sean on the list.
Yeah, this is Sean for the transcript record. So I want to just make a few points. I'm not sure I understand why you said the dates is difficult to change at the moment. Has that been agreed by the members of the group, or was it staff that said it's difficult to change the date? Because if major number of the group members are saying that the date is not convenient, it's just fair to put up some consensus on the date. Secondly, I think we need to understand that it's alternates may not really contribute much in this. Although we said we should always update the. There's going to be a lot of work that will have been done even before the meeting. So there's an importance in making sure that the people who have been participating actually also be at the face to face to allow for proper synchronization and proper follow up of all things that have been already discussed. Nevertheless, if alternate is going to be the last resort, then it should be that we've tried all the other options and it did not work. So my first suggestion would be that we should actually discuss as much as we can on and agree on the dates, on the venue and agree on the dates before we then look at the option of the alternates. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. I need to remind you that as we saw of the timeline, the meeting dates will give us some time to work, and it will give us some time after the face-to-face meeting to do some alterations and work again after having discussed this very thoroughly. So this is a matter of several circumstances that got us to choose those dates. So it's not as easy as just doing a doodle, because the time is precious here, so this seems to be the best timing. And I have Byron on next.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks, Lise. Could I ask the presenters to go back to the timeline slide, the one with the bar chart? And, you know, none of the comments about timeline are unreasonable in that, yes, it would be ideal if we had more time and could find a way to work through the timing better. The reason, and I'll take certainly much of the responsibility for this, is in trying to work through the timeline, we find ourselves extremely limited in the opportunities to have a face-to-face meeting. So the first assumption is we need enough time between now and the next face-to-face to actually do some work, but we want to have the face-to-face prior to the first submission. So those are fundamental assumptions, in that we wanted to have the face-to-face before the first submission so we could do any final work or final modifications, as Mark Carvel was indicating. So that certainly puts us into a limited number of available weeks where we could actually have a face-to-face. There was also a relative assumption that we didn't want to force people to do this on weekends, so it was during the week and allowed for travel time to and from. And as you start to narrow those options, you are left with very, very few weeks and or days to do to actually propose. And the other fact is, no matter what date we choose, there's going to be people who can't make it. So we also have to just accept that given 19, 20 people plus staff and others, there will be people who cannot make it, and that is an unfortunate reality of the timeline that we're working in. And then there are simply the pure operational logistics of, in relatively short notice, getting that many people to one facility with the minimum miles traveled by the collective group and the operational realities of that. So, I mean, when you really start to boil down the practical, you are left with very, very few available dates. And that's the why we got to the proposed date that we have. So I recognize there are concerns about it, and, you know, right out of the gate, I'll apologize for that. This was not Lise's doing, per se. But I think I also have to ask everybody to recognize the operational and the timeline realities that we're facing in proposing those dates. So that's the how we got there. I know it won't satisfy everybody, but that's kind of the rational logic behind how we got to the dates that we do. And I am not convinced at all that a doodle poll is going to change that in any way, shape, or form. Thank you.
Thank you, Byron. We have Chuck. Next, Chuck Gomes.
Thanks. Chuck Gomes from the Registry Stakeholder Group. Recognizing that the dates are fixed, a decision that I think needs to be made and communicated as soon as possible this week is whether an alternate can be funded if a member cannot attend. I absolutely think that should be the case, but that needs to be known right away because people are going to have to make their travel arrangements shortly. So I am suggesting that we need a decision, I assume it's from staff, whether an alternate can be funded instead of a member if the member cannot attend in person.
Okay. Marika or Bart, do you want to reply to this? I can see you writing, we'll confirm this as soon as we can, but do you want to elaborate on that further or...
Yes, this is Marika. We'll check internally because we just need to have sign off from the budget owner for this effort. My personal assumption is that it shouldn't be an issue, as of course the overall numbers would stay the same. But we do need a formal okay before I can tell you. But we'll do that as soon as we have an answer.
Okay. Given the time, we have 8 minutes left of this meeting, and I'd like to do a summarize of the action items. I have Eduardo on the list, and make it short, please.
This is Eduardo from ALAC. Very short. I have seen in the, in the chat, if an alternate goes, will that person have the power, for another word, to vote or which participate in the actual consensus calls if there are any of those things happening. Thank you.
Okay. I guess we'll have to look into that too. And Marika, you have your answer?
This is Marika. I just want to clarify as well that I think as per the charter, the idea is not to have any voting. The working group is supposed to operate on the basis of consensus. And I think foresee as well, should there be a need to have a formal consensus call, that is indeed limited to the members. But I think if you look at the timeline and where the face-to-face meeting is placed, I think the idea is that indeed a lot of work gets done during the face-to-face meeting, which will hopefully result in this draft proposal, which then gives those that were present in the face-to-face as well as those that couldn't either participate remotely or not be present there an opportunity to express views or points that were maybe missed in that week that we have after that before publication. And I think only at that stage, if needed, a formal consensus call would need to be conducted. So I think at that stage, all members are present or available again, so hopefully that shouldn't be an issue from the perspective of the face-to-face meeting. There's some comments in the chat, and I think already remarked as well. The assumption is that any alternates would be confirmed or appointed by the SO and AC that is affected, and the assumption is indeed that those alternatives are members of or participants of the working group to make sure that they're up to speed and familiar with the conversation.
Okay, thank you. Well, in order to be in time for ending this meeting, I'll move on to the next item, and that's a summary of the action items. Marika or Bart, will you do it to recall the action items?
Marika, I'm happy to cover the action items. As I said, I've been trying to keep track of notes and action items on the right-hand side of the screen. Those will go out on the mailing list shortly after this call. Obviously, if I've missed anything or misstated anything, please feel free to send your suggestions to the list. So with regards to the specific action items in relation to the guiding principles for the CWG, the action item is there that we share again the draft document to the list to solicit written comments, but also taking into account, of course, the comments that were already made today. Lisa and Martin will work with Bernie to update the document based on the input received and suggestions made, and then determine whether an updated version is needed at this stage to be further discussed at the next meeting. In relation to the proposal on how to structure the work, the action item is there for working group members and participants to identify for which subgroups they would like to volunteer. And I've added a note there that, you know, for those volunteering for subgroups, please make sure that you are able to actively contribute. All members will be able to provide input and feedback throughout the process, but subgroup members are expected to hold the pen and move the discussions forward. In relation to the triage of IANA functions contract, the action item there is for volunteers to work with Alan, to come forward to work with Alan on this effort and express their interest on the mailing list. It was also agreed to include a separate work item for this particular effort, and the slides will be updated accordingly. And then the last action item under any other business is to send further details about the face-to-face meeting as soon as possible, and I will add to that a confirmation on whether alternates can be appointed by SOs and ACs should members not be available to attend the face-to-face meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Marika. Anyone is in for a short comment about any items that's missing? If you don't have anything, I have Amra Al-Sadra. But before that, I'll say we'll send it out, and you can also, of course, reply on the email list. Amra?
Thanks. This is Amra. I just wanted to ask, in case it was missed in the chat, that all slides used today be uploaded to the CWG wiki. I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, all slides will be uploaded, yes, of course. Any other questions or remarks you have? 2 minutes. If not, I'll thank you all for participating very actively in this meeting, and we will have the next meeting on a Thursday, and we will shortly send out the time. And, of course, we will try to get you updated on the face-to-face meeting as soon as possible. So have a nice evening, morning, night, wherever you are in the world. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye all.
Bye.
Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.